And again, bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It is good to get together. It's good to see so many happy faces. I've been away for a couple of weeks, my wife Christina and I, so good to be back safe and be welcome and just enjoy friendships, fellowships. It's just good to see everybody this morning. For I know we have company with us. There is an outline in the back of the bulletin. Ask brethren to look around. Make sure everyone has access to a bulletin if they would like one, or at least to the outline if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. The lesson comes with a text that was read to us this morning. I even put it at the top of your notes so you can kind of back and look at everything that is there. Thanksgiving, lots to be thankful for. I know there's a song in our hymnal titled, Count Your Many Blessings. Count them and name them one by one. Then the next phrase, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. So when we think back on blessings in our life, thank you. You know, the word thanks appears in the Bible 75 times in the New Testament. The word thanksgiving appears 28 times. Just the word thank is found 27 times. Thankful is found 3 times. Thanksgiving is found twice. And thankfulness appears once. So the word thanks, or the related words, appear at least 139 times in the New Testament. So there must be something important or significant about giving thanks. So I'm going to take the Psalm 100 in our lesson this morning and just note a few phrases from it that gives us the major points in the lesson. And again, in Psalm 100, make a joyful shout or noise to the Lord. All you lands, nobody's left out, are they? Serve the Lord with gladness. Mm-hmm. Come before his presence with singing. Yeah. And then know something. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who has made us. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Oh, the Lord is good. Mercy is everlasting. His truth endures in all generations. Oh, abundance of truth in this psalm. Let's take a look at each line, or at least several of the phrases in the psalm. Number one, just called it the sound of thanksgiving. Verse 1, make a joyful shout or a joyful noise to the Lord. It doesn't say sing like a professional. Thank you. It doesn't say, in perfect tune or in perfect harmony. Thank you. I don't have to do that. It says, make a joyful noise or a shout unto the Lord. And that includes all of us. We can do that. Everyone here can make a joyful shout or a noise, if that's what you prefer. I know we all of us sing in different places in our life or days in our life. We'll sing in the car, perhaps, or the shower. People, they know they sing when they're walking. They sing when they're at home alone. But we sing. No one's left out. We can sing. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2, verse 12, I'll declare thy name among the brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So there's an occasion, a time, not just when we're out and about or alone, but when we assemble, we can make a joyful noise or a shout to the Lord. There was a couple that lived here and worshiped with us years ago, Tip and Sandra. They moved to Texas. But Sandra would say, Brian, I don't want to have anyone sit in front of me when I'm singing. She says, all I can do is make a joyful shout or a noise. They may not think it's so joyful when they hear me make a joyful noise. They may think it's just noise. So I said, I always like to sit just a little bit to the side of someone. But she says, but I'm going to make a joyful noise. I'm going to give it a joyful shout. Yeah. And all of us can do that. Don't we like to hear children sing? It's not always in tune, but oh, it puts a smile on our face. They make a joyful noise or a shout to the Lord. So that's the sound of thanksgiving. Just a joyful noise. Second, there's the service of thanksgiving. It's still in verse 2. To serve the Lord with gladness. The message is, if you're thankful, it shows. If you're thankful, serve the Lord with gladness. I want you to be glad when it comes time to serve. Don't think of serving God or worshiping God or in our ministry as, oh, it's drudgery. No. I want to teach you that we want to include gladness in our service. Remember that prayer, I want service with a smile. When we serve, it means to work, or we're going to minister. We're going to involve ourselves in duty. We're going to have active involvement. And so I want to look around and see people around me and say with a smile, what do you need? How can I help you? Let me get that with a smile. Serve the Lord with gladness. When it's gladness, I looked at the word, I know what gladness means, but still looked it up in the dictionary. If you're going to serve with gladness, you're going to serve with joy or a pleasure. In other words, I'm delighted to do it. Another word it had in the dictionary definition was tickled. I'm tickled to serve the Lord. Cheerful. I want us to come into the assembly with gladness. When it's Lord's Day morning, a Sunday morning, time for assembly. I hope that puts a smile on your face. I don't want you to think, oh, it's Lord's Day morning. I have to be there. I want you to say, oh joy, it's the Lord's Day. It's time for assembly. Serve with gladness. When you walk out of your house and the neighbors see your Bible under your hand and you might be dressed up a little bit, and they know you're going to the worship assembly. And I want them to see you with a smile, not, getting the guard. Oh no. Maybe a little skip and a hop. I'm going to Bible study. I'm going to worship. Let them see that you want to serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Gladness. Number 3, after the sound of thanksgiving and the service of thanksgiving, it's the singing again. Come before his presence with singing. When Paul writes to the churches, the Apostle Paul, he said in Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another. Now, you know that when we sing, we're not just speaking to the Lord, we're speaking to one another. Many times songs of encouragement, let's work together, let's praise together, let's gather, whatever it is. He says, speak to one another in your psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The authority of heaven. It says, let's sing. Let's shout. Let's make a noise. That's the singing of thanksgiving. In Colossians 3, verse 15, says similar, it gives a similar thought. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Yeah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's a thanksgiving of singing. And I want our songs to put a smile on our face. The singing of thanksgiving. Number four is the knowledge of thanksgiving. There's two things in verse 3. Now, this is what I want you to know. Know that the Lord, he is good. I was at a congregation years ago, and they did a little thing in recitation. And the leader would say, God is good. And the congregation would respond, all the time. And then the leader would say, all the time. And the congregation would say, God is good. I want you to know, the psalmist says, know that the Lord, he is God. He's good. In Exodus 20, verse 1, God spoke these words, and he said, I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. You have no other gods before me. I want you to know that he's God. When Jesus meets a woman at a well, a Samaritan woman, in John chapter 4, verse 23, the hour is coming and now is. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to know that the Lord, he is God. Worthy of worship. Worthy of assembly. And that should put a smile on our face and the words of thanksgiving on our lips. Thank you. The second phrase in verse 3 that we should know is, it is he who made us. I want to know that too. David gave an interesting phrase in the Old Testament psalm. Psalm 139, verse 14. He said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Christine and I had that experience just in the last 2.5 weeks when our new grandson was born. Look at him. He's wonderfully made. I counted fingers and toes. It's precious. Look at that. I want to know that the Lord, he is God, and it's he who made us. Number 5 in your notes refers to the people of thanksgiving. So he wants us to know 2 more things. Still in verse 3. We are his people. That's in the New Testament too. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 3 verse 1. Says, behold. In other words, pay attention or sit up. Behold this. Take a look. Stare at it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Not just behold. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Wow. We're his people. He calls us his children. In And then the next phrase is, in verse 3, I want you to know this also. And we're the sheep of his pasture. The familiar psalm in Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. Don't think of it all in just general phrases. Put your own name there. The Lord is Brian's shepherd. Brian shall not want. He makes Brian to lie down in green pastures. He leads Brian beside still waters. He restores Brian's soul. He leads Brian in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though Brian walks through the valley of the shadow of death, Brian's not going to fear any evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff comfort Brian. The psalmist says, I want you to know that. So we say, thank you. We are the people of thanksgiving. Then number 6, there's the showing of thanksgiving. It's in the psalm, the next verse, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. It's not just thanks thinking or thanks wishing. It's thanksgiving. It's show and tell. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, it says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, in everything, give thanks. Remember, almost 140 times in the New Testament, that word thank or a word related to it is given. There's some significance, some importance, some urging for God's people to be thankful. Thank you. The last one, we add to the reasons for giving thanks. It mentions in verse 5, the Lord is good. He's good. I mean, God's upright. He's virtuous, benevolent, noble, blameless. He's good. The Lord is good. Then it refers to his mercy. And his mercy is everlasting, and I need that because I don't always say and do the right things. If he's merciful to me today, he's going to be merciful to me tomorrow and the next day and so on. Mercy is everlasting. It's not going to run out. God, have I used up your mercy? No. No, Brian, you haven't. I need you again today. Mercy. It's compassion toward another who's undeserving of it. He's merciful. I can't look up and say, God, you owe me. No, he's merciful. I don't deserve it. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who's rich in mercy. In other words, there's plenty of mercy with God. It's abounding. There's lots of it and everlasting. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. His mercies everlasting. Always there. It's ceaseless. It's for all time. It's not going to run out. He said, I want you to know that. And then the third reason, the Lord's good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. What God said then works for us today. He's merciful. So in Psalm 100, I put in bold print at the top of your notes, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Service of thanksgiving with gladness in my ministry. Oh, I'm so delighted that I get to serve. Singing of thanksgiving, come before his presence with singing, with a shout, with a noise. The the knowledge of thanksgiving? Know that the Lord, He's God. And He made us. The people of thanksgiving, hands up. Me. And I'm the sheep of His pasture. The Lord's my shepherd. Mine. Yours. The demonstration, into His gates with thanksgiving, with praise. Be thankful. Why? Because the Lord's good. Merciful, He tells the truth. That's the lesson this morning. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. I'll do that again this morning. The last words of Jesus. We always like to remember the last words of someone. Right before He ascended back to the Father, Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 28, the closing verses. Jesus said, all authority been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Ultimate authority. Heavenly authority has been given to Him. So He tells His disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to make disciples, preach the gospel to every creature, make disciples of all the nations, teaching them. But He said, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, He says, Mark recorded, Jesus said, I preach the gospel to every creature, to everybody. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the invitation we extend. If you've heard the good news, the gospel message that God so loved the world, He gave His Son, and you believe that, you're willing to turn your life around, repentance, make your confession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized for remission of sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, rise to walk in newness of life. From that point on, then begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. If we sing an invitation song, that's your desire. If that's your resolve to be baptized this morning, we simply ask you to come to the front and have a seat beside me. And at the close of the song, I'll ask you a simple question. What's on your mind? And you will say, Brian, I want to be baptized this morning for my remission of sins. And we can accomplish that. Let's stand together. We'll sing this invitation, exhortations this morning. Whosoever will come.